Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavabhai, Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So verse 18 in the first chapter. First chapter, first volume. Trinachiketas trayameta viditva. Trinachiketas trayameta viditva. Ya evam vidvans chinute nachiketam. Ya evam vidvans chinute nachiketam. Samrityupashan purutav pranodya. Samrityupashan purutav pranodya. Chokati go modate swaragaloke. Chokati go modate swaragaloke. Trinachiketaha trayam etad viritwa. Ya evam vidvan chinute nachiketam. Samrityu pashan puritaha pranodya. Shoka atigaha. Modate swargaloke. So the three nachiketaha, that means the person who has performed the nachiketa ritual, the fire ritual, three times. So remember, Yama gave Nachiketa a boon that you will be called, you know, the one who is the three nachiketa, the ritual will be named after you. So the one who has done this nachiketa, it means the Nachiketa Agni, this Nachiketa ritual, three times. He is known as Trinachiketaha. So this Trinachiketaha, that person who has done the Nachiketa ritual, etad viritva, trayam etad viritva, having known these three things, what type of bricks, how many bricks, and how to lay them, and has learned correctly all of the protocols involved in doing the ritual. So now knows how to do the ritual completely and knows how to do it properly. Then, yaha evam vidvan, that one, that Trinachiketaha, the first having known how to do the ritual, and that vidvan who knows, that one, the vidvan means the one and who knows how to do it in this manner, which is going back to the previous verse, I'll tell you in a minute, he who knows in this manner, that one, who performs the Nachiketa ritual, he, mrityupashan puritaha pranodya, he, having cast off the bonds of mrityu, of death, shokadigaha, he goes to the other side of sorrow and rejoices in Swargaloka. Okay. So that's what the verse says. But one thing that's really beautiful here, a lot of things are, there's some different parts of it. First of all, the one who knows how to do the Nachiketa ritual, now Yama has taught him. So having known how to do it, and he also who knows in this manner, as from the previous verse, and this is in how Shankara comments on this, and he who, the one who knows how to do it also in this manner. There's other things involved. One is that he has the blessings in terms of karma. He has the blessings of his family, his parents, his mother, his father, and his teachers. Also that he takes into account the Shrestha Purushas, those people who in the present know how to behave properly in terms of dharma and adharma. So the one who is held within that the hold of dharma itself, the womb of dharma itself, and so that's where his commitment is. Somebody who's performing this Nachiketa, having the blessings of his parents and his family, because if he has the blessings of his parents and his guru, then he's within dharma. Because otherwise, his parents are going to be upset with him. Right? They'll be upset. His teacher will be upset with him. So if the teacher, that the parents and the teachers give their blessings, and also the Shrestha Purushas, means those people who are living within dharma, give their blessings, and so there, that Dharmanishta is there. He's living within Dharma. But also that he recognizes this Agni, the Nachiketa Agni, this fire ritual, as being Virat himself. And so Virat means Ishwara, as Hiranyagarbha is the subtle, the total subtle upadhi of Ishwara, the subtle manifestation of Ishwara. Virat is the physical manifestation. So when Ishwara is fully manifest, right, you're in this physical, whole physical world is the Lord, we call Virat. The whole subtle world is Hiranyagarbha. Brahman, my own being, with Maya, is what we call Ishwara. And so now, there's an upasana which Nachiketa, or the one who performs this ritual, also does an upasana, if they do it, are really complete, because most rituals do have an upasana associated with it. So the upasana is here, because it's not jnana. Knowledge doesn't come until the third boon. So this is only the second boon. So it's not going to be knowledge, but it is that karma yoga buddhi. That karma yoga buddhi is where he will, in upasana, see Virat as himself. So now to see Virat as myself, there's in upasana, it's where I am meditating on Virat. Ishwara is the whole creation. The Lord is the whole creation. I'm meditating on Virat, and I'm resolving myself into Virat. There's still a subject object there, and I'm still a jiva, but I'm resolving myself and surrendering myself into Virat. So Virat becomes my swarupa, in a sense. So it becomes the Atma Swarupa, my being, instead of being focused on this body, mind, sense organs, myself, now that I can take to still to be a kartpa and bhokta, doer and enjoyer and all of that, but still, in this upasana, instead of focusing on the me in terms of my body, mind, sense organs, I'm focusing on Virat. And then my being feels Virat. You see how that would be? You don't have to have knowledge for this. It's not like I'm recognizing that that is myself. The non-dual Brahman is myself, which is the truth of Virat. It's not that. It's taking myself here as this body, mind, sense organs, this person, and I am imagining the whole Virat Swarupa, the whole manifestation of the infinite creation as Ishwara, as the Lord. And then as I imagine that and I absorb my mind into that imagination, then instead of my mind being totally identified with my body, mind, sense organs, what is happening is my mind is taking on the form of Virat. You understand? Like, you can do this. This is an upasana. You could do it like, say you have an Ishtadevata, some form of the Lord that, or goddess that is very meaningful to you. An upasana, one type of upasana would be to meditate on that form until you become the form. This body, mind, sense, organs is kind of put in the background, and your whole focus is on that form of that devata. And then your experience is becoming one with that devata. Now what if your experience is becoming one with the form of Virat? It doesn't involve knowledge, it involves more imagination, where you're kind of surrendering yourself to that image. So that's a type of upasana. So now, the one who performs this Nachiketa Agni, this fire ritual, and also knows to do this upasana and is following Dharma, that one here, that pudataha, before one dies, that one casts off the bonds of death. The bonds of death. Now, when they say the bonds of death, what they mean here, how Shankara says this, for the Mrityu Pasha, Pasha are bonds, are like being roped, you know, by Mrityu. It's a Dharma, a Jnana, Raga Dveshadi Lakshanam. He says these ropes are what? Characterized by Raga Dvesha, your likes and dislikes, and adharma, your ignorance, and adharma born from all of that. So it's, if you think about it, what really causes a person to get involved in adharma? Adharma means doing what you're not supposed to be doing. doing things which are harmful to yourself and others. That's adharma, going against the natural order. The natural order is ahimsa, doing to others. The good old golden rule. The golden rule, the ahimsa, doing to others as you would have done to yourself, don't do to others as you don't want done to yourself. That's such an overarching container for an understanding of dharma, of what you should do. You may have to meditate on it, you may have to seek advice, but well, in this case, what would really be the right thing to do? But what's holding you and what's behind all of your decisions is that golden rule. So that's dharma. As opposed to what's behind all of your decisions is I want this and I don't want that. I want this so I can be happy and I don't want that so I can be happy. So my ananda and my well-being is so totally superimposed upon sensory gratification. It's not dharma. If what is guiding me is dharma, what's guiding me is Ishvara. Because what we mean by dharma really is the natural order of things. Not the veil of ajnanam or veil of self-ignorance, which causes me to try to make myself whole and complete just simply by satisfying desires. And then adharma comes into play, because what is most valued by me is my own happiness to begin from sensory gratification. I need this to be happy, I need to get rid of this to be happy. That gives room for adharma, right? Unless dharma is the ruler, not raga dvesha. If dharma is the ruler, then it's not a question. Dharma comes first. But if raga dvesha is a ruler, my likes and dislikes are what rule me, then there's plenty of room for adharma, because what comes first is fulfilling my desires. Then dharma is fine as long as it goes along with my raga dvesha, my likes and dislikes. But when dharma doesn't go along with fulfilling my likes and dislikes, then adharma becomes strong. Because what's stronger? And all of that is based on ajnanam, is based upon the ignorance of my own being. The ignorance of the source of the ananda that I seek. That's what it is. It's based on the source of the ananda that I seek. But for somebody for whom dharma is what is containing me, that's as well as saying Ishvara is containing me. And so here, for the Nachiketa, when he performs this fire ritual, part of it is that virat, upasana on virat, where I see this whole thing, my being takes on this whole, the whole creation, then along with my dharma, parents are pleased with me, teachers are pleased with me, I've studied the shastra, I fall under the guidance of the Shrestha Purushas, then my mind has no real reason for sorrow. Even in this, it's relatively true. I'm still in the relative world here. But I've really taken away the reasons for suffering and sorrow in my mind. So this meant for mental suffering. Not physical suffering will be there because you have a body. But mental suffering is very much mitigated by your relationship with Ishvara and relationship with dharma. This is also karma yoga. It's a little bit different way of talking about karma yoga, but it's the same thing. So the one who has really cast off, even before death, these bonds of mityu, that person here itself, having gone beyond sorrow, and Shankara says manasa dukkha, that mental suffering, then after death, mordate swargaloke, he rejoices, he lives happily there in swargaloka. Swargaloka is the highest loka, the highest world. If you go up in satyalati till you get to the top one, that's swargaloka. In swargaloka, there's still difference between people and different degrees of every experience that you have, but there really is no suffering, because you're not in want of anything. There's no physical suffering. There's no suffering in terms of the food and eating and health and all of these things. There's no sickness, nothing like that. And the mental problems you've already overcome. There's no mental suffering either. So that's basically he says, the Upanishad is now winding up this particular section with this verse. He's winding it up with this section, giving the pala of the Nachiketa Agni. Okay? So the second boon is over now. So let's do this next one. Now Yama talks to Nachiketas. Esha te gnira Nachiketas swarajaha. Esha te gnira Nachiketas swarajaha. Yama vrini taha dhati yena varena. Yama vrini taha dhati yena varena. Etamagnim tavaiva pravakshanti janasaha. Etamagnim tavaiva pravakshanti janasaha. Tatiyam varan nachiketo vrnishwa. Tatiyam varan nachiketo vrnishwa. Eshaha te agnihi nachiketaha. Swargyaha yam. Avrani taha priti yena varena etam agnim tava eva pravakshanti janasaha tritiyam varam nachiketaha pranishwa. So now Lord Yama says to him, esha te agnihi nachiketaha swargyaha. Enachiketa, he says, this Agni, this fire ritual, which Swargya takes one to heaven, right? Which Yam Avrani Taha, which you have asked for, right? This is the boon that you've asked for, the Tiyena Varena, by the second boon. So this, he says, so Yama says, Nachiketa, this is the Agni, you know, which leads to Swarga, which you ask for by the second boon. It's been given. This is it. I've given this to you. Now he says, Etam agnim tava eva pravakshanti janasaha. Now he says, and I gave you this additional boon, just because I was so impressed. So impressed with the way you could remember all the instructions, and you could actually repeat it perfectly. Okay, so he says, and he says, Janasaha, the people, they will remember this Agni, they will speak of this Agni as belonging to you alone. So, Etam Agnim, this ritual, Etam Agnim, this Agni ritual, Tava Eva, is yours alone. Okay? Pravakshanti Janasaha, the people will tell this, that this Agni ritual is belongs to Nachiketas. Is the because Yama gave him this boon, this wonderful ritual that you want. He wanted this ritual. He asked, Nachiketas was given three boons. The first boon, he wanted his father to have Shanti and for him to go back and be with his father, have his father recognize him and take care of all of that that had happened. The second boon, he thought, let me do something nice for the people. Let them have a way to get to Swarga, right? So that's why he had the second boon. So he says now, the second boon, I've given you this now, and you can give this now, if the people do this as directed, they can get to the Swarga Loka, which is a very difficult loka to get to. So Nachiketas says, it's very hard to get to Swarga Loka, so give me something. I have this boon, give me something that people can actually do to get there. So he did. He gave it. And he says, Then he said, was so impressed with him, he said, now the people will also call this book, call this ritual by your name. Then he says, Pratiyam Varam Nachiketaha Vraneshwar. Now he says, now Nachiketa, may please ask for the third boon. He needs for Nachiketas to do, he offered him three boons. I remember he offered him these three boons because he had been left outside of his house without any water or any food, anything. Left outside of his house while Yama was off taking care of business, Lord Death was off taking care of business. Nachiketas was stuck there in front of his house for 3 days without any food or water. You know? And so when Yama came, all of his servants said, this is what has happened, this is not right, this Brahmin boy, you know, if he goes, he's like fire. When he goes into the house, he'll either warm the house or burn it down just by his tejas. Please go take care of him. So Yama went and talked to Nachiketas and said, I'm so sorry this has ever happened. But this would never happen to somebody like you, such a special person like you. I will give you three boons. Please bless me. Please bless me. Please bless me. Please don't be offended. Don't burn my house down just by your anger. Don't be angry with me. Please bless me. I give you these three boons. So Nachiketas gave these three, two. Now, he's asked for two. Two have been fulfilled. Now he needs, so that Yama can feel complete, now he needs the third to take the third boon. It says, now Nachiketas, these two are taken care of. Please give me, please ask for the third boon. So he asks.
20.
Yeyam prete vichikitsa manushe. Yeyam prete vichikitsa manushe. Asti tyeke nayan asti pichayike. Asti tyeke nayan asti pichayike. Etad vidyam anishishtas tuyaham. Etad vidyam anishishtas tuyaham. Varanam esha varastratiyaha. Varanam esha varastratiyaha. Ya iyam prete vichikitsa manushe asti iti eke na ayam asti iticha eke. Etad vidyam anushishtaha tuya aham varanam eshaha varaha tritiyaha. So Nachiketas gives the third boon, asks for the third boon. It was like this. Ya iyam vichikitsa. You know, that doubt which is there, ya is which. So which is there, that doubt, ete, or this doubt, ayam, iyam, this vichikitsa, this doubt which is there, that means prasiddhi. This doubt which is there, everybody knows this, everybody has this doubt. So this doubt that we all have, this doubt which is well known that everybody has, what is it? Prete manushe, when a person dies, right? Prete manushe, when a person dies, asti iti eke. Some people, some will say, asti, he still is. The atma is, the self is. The self survives. When a person dies, some people say that the atma, the self, survives. Na ayam asti iti cha eke. And others say that it doesn't. The self doesn't survive. Etad vidyam, I want to know this. I should know this. Etad vidyam, anushishtaha tvaya aham. So I, etad vidyam, I would like to know this. Anushishtaha tvaya, instructed by you, taught by you. Right? I would like to know this. Varanam eshaha varaha tritiyaha. This is my third boon. Varanam, of the boons, of these three boons, this one, this is the third one. Yeah. So now there's a little commentary on this one. There's different ways. There's so many different problems with the nature of the self, the way that it's myth, the way that people think about it, you know. And here, Nachiket in Shankara's commentary, he asks it in here. He says, some people say it is, isn't. Many people say that it is. The self survives. Many people say that it doesn't survive. This is something we can't know through our sense perception or through inference. Through the means of knowledge that we have available to us, we really can't know this because we can intuit it, we can believe it, we can think that it must be this way, but we don't have a means of knowledge to tell us the truth of it, what it actually is. Because it's not an object that, if there's a soul going up to heaven, for instance, that's not an object of sense perception. And inference, any inference that you make has got to be tied to something that you know. An inference, like if I say, for instance, the inference, look, there's a fire on the hill, I see the smoke, because I see smoke. But I see the smoke, so the smoke is something that I know, and from what I know, because of an invariable relationship, I can infer that there's fire, if that's a proper inference. But here, I don't have anything to hang on to like that to make a proper inference. And so what happens is that there's all kinds of ideas about whether there's a self or a not self, and if there is a self, what is that self? Is the self, if there's a self that survives death, what does it look like? What is it made out of? Is it transmigrating or is it not transmigrating? Does it go to heaven and hell, you know? Or is there even something beyond that? Is there a self beyond the one who's transmigrating? Because the one who's transmigrating also is going through all different types of modifications. And if it's beyond the things that go through modifications, what does that look like? What would I be? If I'm not something that's objectifiable and is going through change, then what would I be? Yeah. And so all of the darshanas and all of the religions of the world have something to say about the nature of the self. There's all types of philosophies about it, and all of them are one is negating the other. Right? As long as these philosophies are existing within duality, they're going to be viewed from different viewpoints and are going to be arguing one with the other. So Nachiketa is thinking, you know, people say so many things about what happens to me after I die. There's so many things, and there's no way for us to really know this. So this is what I want from you. Who is the most perfect person to tell me this would be the Lord of Death himself, Mrityu, Yama, you know? You are the perfect person. You are the one who would know, you know? Because none of us know. Everybody's just arguing about it. All of the different darshanas are arguing. You know. This is, and this, he says, and Shankara says, in his commentary, and knowing this is necessary, really, for the ultimate purusharta. And purusharthas, what they mean in India is so traditional. There are four major purusharthas, means goals, human goals. The one is just for artha, security. Let me have enough food to eat. Let me have a home, shelter. You know, let me have money in the bank. Let me have what I need just to be secure. And having that artha, let me have some pleasure. Let me fulfill my desires. That's kama. So let me have what I need for my security, and then let me fulfill my desires. Right? Then there's dharma. Dharma means let me let my behavior be such that I can get a better next birth. That I'm accruing punya, not papa. Really, that's what it is. Let my behavior be a blessing. to both to my life and to the life of others, so that I can get a better next birth. That's third dharma. And then the last one is moksha. Moksha is the final purushartha. It's for the one who recognizes that even if I get a better next birth, or even how many kamas I have, how many desires I fulfill, or how much security I have, there's still insecurity. The results, the happiness that I receive from the kamas is time-bound, you know? I can go on transmigrating and transmigrating, you know, and even get a better next birth, but it's still subject to time. It's still finite. And so any of the joys I may get out of that, from all of that, is not good enough. Because it's all temporary. So everything is just, all of my pleasures are just a womb for dukkha, womb for suffering, because they all come to an end. And so is there anything about me which is free and not encumbered by all of this? That's the final purushartha. Is there any way for me to just be whole and complete without suffering? Does suffering always have to be a part of everything? Is there any way out of it? Can I have ananda? Can I be whole and complete without suffering? Or does suffering always have to, does everything always have to morph into suffering? Can I just be free like that? The self-knowledge or knowledge of reality is necessary for this fourth purushartha, the most important of all of the four. So, and Shankara says this. So, how can I really complete myself or fulfill myself without knowing this? And in the world, they're just arguing about it. Nobody knows. Somebody has a means of knowledge to really know. You are the one. Mm. So, this is my third boon, he says. Mm. So poor Yama. So, Yama says, Devairatva pivichikitsam vichikitsitam pura. Devairatva pivichikitsitam pura. Nahi sudhyeyam anuresha dharmaha. Nahi sudhyeyam anuresha dharmaha. Anyam varam nachiketo vrinishwa. Anyam varam nachiketo vrinishwa. Ma mo parotsi rati. Ma srijainam. Ma mo ravrotsi rati. Ma srijainam. Devaihi. Atra api vichikitsitam pura nahi sudhyeyam anuhu eshaha dharmaha anyam param nachiketaha praneshwa ma uparotsihi ati ma srija enam. So Yama is shocked that Nachiketa would ask for this, because he's young. He's just a boy. Yama is very pleased with him because he has such medha shakti. He's so clean. He has such good memory, such good understanding, so dharmic, so concerned about his father, and so concerned about society, you know? So he has a lot of respect for him. But he is just a boy. He's just a young boy. Mm-hmm. So now Yama is taken aback that he would even ask this question. But so he says, Devaihi atra api vichikitsitam pura. Even formerly, this was doubted, even by the gods, here, in reference to this, question. Who survives death? What is the nature of the self? After this body dies, this body, mind, sense organs that die. What is the nature of the self? Even the gods were confused about this. Even the devatas, even the devas themselves, had doubt around this. Nahi subnyayam. This is not easy to understand because This is not something to be easily understood. It says, Asha, what is it? Asha dharma, this dharma. Now, he's talking about the Atma, the nature of the self. He says, this dharma. When you say something, call something this dharma, it means this reality. Dharma is what actually is. Like if you were to ask, okay, what is the truth of the world? What are all the laws that are really governing the world? What are all the laws that are governing your emotional life? What are the laws that are governing the sukha and dukkha? What is the reality of this creation? What is the nature of myself? You know, these things are all dharma. So the dharma, this dharma, you know, the truth of your, of my being, of the self, this dharma is anuhu. It's very subtle. This is not something easily understood. Because when we're talking about this particular dharma, your own being, the nature of your own being, the Atma, it's true. This is not, the Atma yourself is not something you can look at. Then who's looking, right? So it's going to be always the innermost, the most subtle, that which is everything, well, that which is left when everything is negated. There's nothing more subtle than that, right? Because not objectifiable. If it's objectifiable, then who's the self objectifying it? So you want to know who it is that survives all of this activity, who survives all of the coming and going, all of the coming into being and going out of being. Is there somebody who survives? That is the most subtle. That's not going to be something objectifiable, right? So it's anu. This dharma is subtle. Na suvignyaha. This is not something that can be, is easily understood. Even the gods were confused about this. Even they have doubts here. So he says, anyam varam nachiketaha vrnishwa nachiketa. Ask me for another boon. Anyam varam is another boon. Vrnishwa, please ask me for another boon. Nachiketa, please ask for another boon, he says. Ma uparotsihi. Don't argue with me on this. Ma uparotsihi. Uparatsihi, don't push me on this. Swamiji would say, don't bug me about this. don't push about this. Don't quarrel, don't argue with me over this. Then he says, ati ma, ati srija, that ati at the end of ma uparatsihi, that ati goes with srija, ati srija. Okay. So he says, ati srija, abandon this completely. That srija means give this up. Ati srija means give it up completely. Ati means on all sides, just give the whole thing up. Abandon this whole thing. Mom is mom, mom means mom pati, for my sake. Just for me, just please don't ask me this boon. Please don't ask. Just give this up. Okay. So Nachiketa, so there's one more, okay? Nachiketa says, Devairatrapi vichikitsitam kila, Devairatrapi vichikitsitam kila, Tvam chamrityo yena sudneyam atta, Tvanchamrityo yena sudneyam atta, Vakta cha asya twadrakanyo nalabhyaha, Vakta cha asya twadrakanyo nalabhyaha, Nanyo varastulya etasya kaschit, Nanyo varastulya etasya kaschit, Devaihi atra api vichikitsitam kila, Tvam cha mrityo, yet na subnyayam atta. Vakta cha asya twadrik anyaha nalabhyaha na anyaha varaha tulyaha etasya kaschit. He says, Nachiketa says to him, indeed kila, Kila means like, if really, you know, this here is even doubted by the gods. Atra, in reference to this, even by the gods in reference to this, this is doubted, right? Really? If that's really true, it's doubted even by the gods. Then, Twam Cha Mrityoho, he said Mrityo, and you, O Mrityo, yan, because Nasu Vigyam Ata, he says, and that being so, then you, O Mrityo, Sugyam Ata, and you, O Mrityo, Nasugyam, is because it's not easily understood, you Ata, you should tell this, right? You need to tell this, because you yourself say, this is not easily understood, right? But of course, you know it. That's it. It's not easily understood. You know it's not easily understood, but you're the one who's knows it, and you should be able to tell me. So, Vakta Cha Asya Tva Dvitanyaha Nalabhyaha says, the one who is teaching this, Twadrik, like yourself, another Nalabhyaha. There is no other better than you that would be as good as you to teach this. It's not possible, because you are the Lord of Death. You know what it is. None of the Devatas know it, as you say. They're all confused about it. You yourself know that it's difficult to understand, but you know this. You're the one who has this knowledge. So how could I get anybody better than you? He says, Anyaha Nalabhyaha. There is not somebody to be gotten who is as good as you in terms of teaching this. Na Anyaha Varaha Tulyaha Etasya Kascha. He says, there is no other boon equal to this. Na Anyaha Kascha. There isn't any other Varaha boon which is as good as this, equal to this. So that's his answer. No way, this is mine, this is what I want. Okay. And so now, we'll finish this next week, and actually we'll start the Upanishad next week.
How many more verses to go?
Well, there's six more of this, but these will go quickly. What Yama starts doing is offer him all kinds of things. But you can have this, and you can have this. Wouldn't that be great if you had this, and had this, and had this? And how about this, and this also? And Nachiketa is not interested. But Yama does everything. Because, so you see, the thing is, this knowledge is not meant, is meant to be taught to a mumukshu, not a samsari. A samsari is a person, it's not a derogatory term, it's a person whose mind is still contained within samsari, within samsara, means within transmigratory existence, and that means the first three purusharthas are still relevant for you. Let me follow dharma so I can get a better next birth, so that I can go to the heaven worlds and meet Brahmaji and have a long life and get all kinds of enjoyments, you know. Let me live dharmically. Let all my needs be taken care of. Let me get plenty of artha. All my needs be taken care of. Let me have pleasures, you know, so I can do everything, even as a being Vaidika contained within the Vedas. I can be very dharmic, but I'm being dharmic so that Bhagavan will bless me so that I can get these pleasures, you know, and get securities and get a better next birth and enjoy myself here and have relatively little suffering and relatively a lot of, you know, happiness. Let me have lots of punya and only a little papa. You know? But for all of those people, they have not yet recognized that life is short. Even if it's lasts a million years in Swargaloka, it still comes to an end. And all of your pleasures just wear you out. They all come, so This is what Nachiketas is saying. I don't, what he's thinking, I don't want these things. And Yama is offering so many things. And he's offering the world. You know, everything that you can imagine he's offering. And Nachiketas is just proving himself to be a mumukshu. You know, to be one who has seen through kind of the veil of all of this and is no longer interested. That is a mumukshu. But Yama's really just testing him, because he would be thinking, oh my gosh, you know, does he really want this? Does he really know what he's asking for? Does he really know, you know, what he's asking for? And that's why he puts him to the test. His first thing he says is, even the gods don't know this. Don't bother with this. Ask me something else. It's like, if you ask me for this, I'll tell you it won't mean anything to you. It's not important. You'll just, and it's too much analysis. Shankara says, you know, it's like counting the teeth of a crow. What do you get out of it? What do you get out of it? You know, this won't profit you. You're throwing away the boon. You're throwing away the boon. Don't do that. All these things, you could ask for this, you could ask for this, you could ask for this. And Nachiketas listens to all of it, and Yama's tempting him as much as he possibly can. And at the end, as we'll see, Nachiketas just says, no, I don't want those things. Life is short. These things just wear out the senses. There's no real ananda to have. No, this is the boon I want, and you're the one who can give it to me. So he tells Yama that, and Yama becomes very happy. Because it's like, yes, you're a young boy, but you're a mumukshu. You deserve to have this knowledge. And so in this chapter, we see, you know, what's being set up is the adhikari, the one who's qualified to gain this knowledge. Because this knowledge is meaningless to somebody who thinks that I can still believes that I can fulfill myself as a human being by getting this and getting this and getting this and getting that, and then getting rid of this and getting rid of that. It goes on endlessly, but you still think, well, you know, if I could just have, you know, and you fulfill a big desire, and then a few minutes later, the next one comes. It's so shocking, you know. Mm-hmm. You feel this, you think, now this will do it, this will do it. But a few minutes later, the next thing, the next need comes. It used to really just, this would be astounding to me and disappointing. But it was always the next thing would always come, because where's the end to it? And then everything that you desire, even your having a desire for it, comes to an end. That's another thing. You really wanted it. You wanted it so much. Now you have it. Okay, that's nice. And then you don't want it anymore. And so at some point you see this. So this little boy has recognized this. He's come in with very good samskaras. He's recognized this at a young age, and he is very bright. And so Yama says, okay, he is an adhikari for this knowledge, so I will teach him. That's the whole chapter. So we just have a few more verses where he winds this up. So then he starts the Upanishad. So it's a beautiful Upanishad. It's so centered just on, every verse is just knowledge. It's a knowledge verse instead of a lot of stories and apostles and things like that. It's a very, very sweet Upanishad. So let's take a moment. Om Swasti Pujabhyat Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahimahishaha Gopramanebhyo Shumastu Nityam Loka Samastha Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parajanya Prithivi Svasya Shalini Desho Yam Shobaraitaha Brahmanas Santu Nirbhayaha Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu
Ma kashchit dukha bhag bhavet asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityo ma amritam gamaya. Om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Hare Hare.
Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hare Om.
Do you think these, you know, the way this progresses, it kind of parallels the sort of like Dharma, Upasana, and then Jnana? And they're sort of like, you know, kind of like the pleasing the parents is to do Dharma, and then the whole thing of the fire sacrifice and the Upasana Virat is Upasana.
There's Upasana is in there, because Upasana, ritual and Upasana are often together in achieving the higher lokas and also kind of dissolving much more the Ahankara. It's so nice, it's so close to Karma Yoga, that Upasana, because if you continually resolve yourself into Ishvara, or resolve yourself into a Devata, or resolve yourself into a sound symbol, you know, through your, and it brings about what they call Antakarana Naischalya, what that means is, or Ekagrata is another word they use, making your mind steady and single-pointed. And so you're able to, like say for instance, if I have the image of a Devata, and I am able to hold my mind in that image, or an image of Virat, and I hold my mind there, it gives strength to my mind. Mm-hmm. Plus, the blessing of kind of resolving the ego into something greater than myself. It's like a surrendering the Ahankara by letting my being become that. You know? Even though there's no knowledge involved, it's like a practice.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings about that Shraddha relationship with Ishvara. It brings about and brings about that steadiness of mind also.
I mean, there's sort of a knowledge, right? I mean, there could be, right?
In terms of
it's
Ishvara,
it's not self-knowledge.
It's not self-knowledge, right. But there's still a part to the whole where the jiva is totally surrenders to Ishvara. You know, so I become what would be the reality that I'm experiencing is only Ishvara, because I've put all of my attention, all of my focus there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's really a beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the beginning you were talking about doing that with Virat.
And Virat. Seeing,
huh?
With Virat, yeah.
Yeah, and seeing yourself as the whole creation. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, because like if you say Om, for instance, just that sacred syllable Om. What is Om? The is the whole Virat. Is Virat.
Mm.
The Vishwa is the Jiva, the waker within Virat. So the Virat is Ishvara, for the waking state, and the jiva is called Vishwa. Then the U is Hiranyagarbha, the subtle plane, the whole, the what we call the Samashti Upadhi, the whole subtle, Samashti Sukshma Upadhi, so the whole subtle world, Hiranyagarbha, and for the jiva, who's within that, is Taijasa. So the jiva is part and parcel of Hiranyagarbha, right? So the Taijasa is like the part to the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Vishwa is part and parcel of Virat, right? And
Vishwa
then,
is the waking.
Yeah, Virat is the waking.
Right.
Taijasa.
The dream.
Yeah, well, Hiranyagarbha is the dream, and
mm-hmm.
and then the Taijasa would be the dreamer.
The dreamer.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then Prajna, causal, is the jiva. Ishvara is the whole, with the whole maya. So, in causal condition. So within that causal maya, there's the jiva, causal jiva, that's part of the causal maya, which comes out as Hiranyagarbha, with Taija as the jiva, Virat, with Vishwa as the jiva. Right? All of that has for its being oneself. So the a-u-m, so the waking state, dream, deep sleep, and then that silence. So that's why when we do japa, when you say the mantra, like say if we just to say om, 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 so it's om, silence, om, silence, om, silence. Then you recognize om is coming from silence. It's coming from silence and resolving back into silence. That om is Brahman. Right? And so when we're talking about Virat, we're just talking about Brahman, the self, conscious being, and the whole manifest maya. Because we've got Ishwara, causal, and then the causal, when it manifests, becomes Hiranyagarbha, the subtle, which goes through that process of becoming fivefold, which becomes Virat. So all that's happening there is all the bases are being covered in terms of the totality of your experience.
So
and
it
also resolves the individual into the total.
So is that an attempt to see the whole creation as myself? You're trying to focus on the self that's identical. But the material cause, are you looking for kind of like seeing the whole thing as divine or something like that?
No, I'm not. I'm seeing
it,
the whole thing
body?
As Virat, right? Or as Ishwara. You see the whole thing as Ishwara. And you see that yourself is also part of Ishwara. Right? So if I'm resolving myself as an upasana, I'm resolving this Vishwa into Virat. I'm seeing Vishwa, this body, mind, sense organs, as belonging to Virat. And my whole focus then goes on Virat. And what is left? You know, when my focus goes on Virat, what is left is me, Brahman, conscious being, with the vision of Virat. Right? Or say if I do it on Hiranyagarbha, what is left is that the vision of the subtle, right? Mm-hmm. With me. Because the me, the consciousness can never be outside. That can never not be included. Because you can't get rid of it. But you can change your focus. Like, even now if I'm looking over here and talking to you, I'm not necessarily even aware of my body. I can be daydreaming. Right? Or if I look over here, I'm not seeing what's over here. Or if I'm off just in imagining in my mind, I'm not even aware of the physical world. But through whatever type of experience you're having, the one thing that is not being negated is your the conscious being, which is that silence of om.
So the body becomes Ishwara Virat, because I'm a part to the whole, and this is no longer belonging to me, belonging to the jiva.
Well,
it's different.
The jiva belongs to Virat. In fact, there really is no jiva. In the end, that's what you realize, that there's only Virat. There's only Hiranyagarbha. There's only Ishwara. There's only Brahman. Right? The jiva is a product of ajnana, a product of ignorance. Yeah. But for somebody who's doing upasana, first of all, you recognize that this body, mind, sense organs is part of Virat. It's part of Ishwara, like a part to the whole, you know. And when I'm just visualizing Ishwara, my body, mind, sense organs resolves into Virat, right? And so I'm recognizing that. Then I recognize if I will come back to my body, this body is a part of Virat, right? My mind and sense organs, the subtle, is a part of Hiranyagarbha. The maya, the causal body is part of Ishwara, the total causal body, and the self is oneself. See, when you see yourself, this body, instead of this body being walking around in an inert creation, here I am, this little pocket of consciousness walking around in this inert creation. That's how most people see it, and they have a belief that it may be different, but their knowledge is rooted in this, but maybe it could be a different way. But this is your knowledge. What if your knowledge is that this body, mind, sense organs is a part of something greater? Yeah. That this body, mind, sense organs, this me, this person is part and parcel of something greater. So if we look at that, this body is part of Virat. So Virat is greater than this body. Virat includes this body. This mind, bodies, this mind and sense organs are subtle. They're part of Hiranyagarbha. They're part of a subtle whole. This self is not part of, because once you get to yourself, it's not objectifiable as a part to a whole. So this self then is the self of Virat, which includes me. Right? It means this body. So this conscious being that I am, right, which is the self of Virat, includes me. So this me is really surrendered to Virat. My mind and sense organs are surrendered to Hiranyagarbha. The whole of this creation and every part is surrendered to Ishvara. So we just say Ishvara. But when we're doing the Mandukya Upanishad and breaking this down into the silence, so that you can understand Om, so that when you say Om, my entire vision, you know, comes to mind. Like in the Gayatri, you say, Om Bhur Bhuvaha Suvaha. Bhur is this loka, this world. Bhuvaha is the intermediary space. Suvaha is the heaven world. So it's trying to cover the whole manifestation. So first you say Om, which covers everything. It's called a Vyakriti. These are like the like bija mantras that hold this reality. So Om is a bija mantra. It's a sacred mantra that's a sound syllable that is invoking that, the reality, the whole, the reality of the whole. Then Bhur, Bhuhu, is the bija mantra for the whole manifest creation, this loka, this world. Bhuvaha is the what they call the antariksha, the intermediary worlds, and suvaha is the swargaloka. So it's just trying to cover these bija mantras. So it's very Vyakritis if you say, and then the positive of Vyakriti, so Om Bhur Bhuvaha Suvaha. So if you know what that means, what these words mean, as you say them, you're invoking that image. If you say Om, it invokes Ishvara, the whole. Then Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha, then you're just seeing the whole.
And that's from the Gayatri? That is the Gayatri.
The Gayatri, but those bija mantras are used elsewhere also. Mm. And then the Gayatri starts, Om, Bhur, Bhur, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. That's not the Gayatri. Mm. That's an introduction to the Gayatri. but we always say it. Yeah. Mm.
Why do they say Om is only for sannyasis?
That's a good question. With the Om, it's not that we don't say Om. We always say Om. If you're not a sannyasi, you say Om with a mantra like Om Namah Shivaya, right? Or Om Namo, you know, whatever. Om Namo Ramanaya, or whatever. So you say Om with followed by a mantra. So, but if you only say Om, the prayer, you know, or that mantra is just resolving into Brahman. You know, that's all. So you're not engaging at all in the world. So if you want that, if you want to just be a sannyasi and only just be living resolved in your knowledge, then it's fine just to say Om. It's a very powerful mantra. But you should want to be a sannyasi to do that.
Does that mean as an external form of a sannyasi or within yourself sannyasi?
Within yourself is fine. It doesn't have to be external. But it means that you're willing to just live this knowledge without having any what we call pravritti or nivritti, like I want this and I want that. Let me have these things. Let me have them dharmically, but I have desires. So if you have desires for wanting,
you've learned that desires are just going to tire us out ultimately. So if you understand the bigger picture, then naturally you.
If you understand the bigger picture, then it's very nice just to live with the life you have. The life as it unfolds, because your ananda really isn't external. Source of your ananda is your own being. So just to live the prarabdha, to live Ishwara, the life that is given to you, and to be engaged in what is here. You can be fully engaged with what is here, fully engaged with the people and the places and the things that are taking place, because you're not asking for something else. I think it's very common for people not to spend much time in the present, because they want something else, and so their mind is very much occupied with what they want or what they are worried about that they may not get. They're not necessarily just here. But to just be here, I think you really have to know yourself, you know, just to really just fully be here, because how can you not have desires if you don't know yourself? Because you're going to be searching for wholeness.
Yeah.
And if the wholeness doesn't, if the source of wholeness isn't recognized as your own being, the Atma, then the mind naturally is going to be looking for it, because that's who you are. And who you are is projected out onto something. And so then you need that in order to get yourself back, actually.
Mm.
So that's the whole basis of ignorance, you know. You're searching for yourself, and then, of course, you can never really find it. But what happens is you gain moments of satisfaction every time you fulfill a desire, because at that moment you're desireless, and so you're at peace. But we have to go on fulfilling our desires, you know, because we don't know where the self is. All we know is the self-experience, and as though self-experience, that the fulfillment of a desire, or taking a beautiful walk in nature before the mosquitoes come, that type of thing, you know, we get those moments, beautiful music, you know, the intimate relationships at those precious times when my mind has some resolution.
Was that why you get motivated to go to extremes then? I mean, you get what you want, then it's not quite good enough, so you want to go a little bit higher?
Yeah, whatever. You're chasing it. You're chasing yourself, which is projected out. You know? And so what about when you really understand that that's what's happening? You know? And you understand it, and you know you recognize yourself.
Well, does Vipassana mean meditation?
It means meditation, but the word dhyanam is a general word for meditation, and it can include upasana and nididhyasana. When we say nididhyasana, we're talking about where I'm contemplating on my own being, resolving myself into the truth of myself, into Brahman, into Ishwara. Upasana is a type of meditation where I am focusing on something that is meaningful, like a form of the Lord, or even on a sound symbol like Om, or even some sort of a pratika, some sort of a picture even, or a visualization, where my mind is totally focused on that to the point that nothing else exists.
Can it be prana?
Huh?
Can it be prana?
Prana? It can be prana. Actually, it can be. There's many different levels of upasana, but what makes it an upasana is that I'm totally focused on that. So there's a subject-object relationship that resolves into that object, right? The subject-object relationship involves into the object. That's upasana. The object can be anything. It should be something meaningful. Right? Nididhyasana is where the subject-object relationship, the subject is resolving into the subject. If the subject resolves into the truth of the subject, as opposed to the subject resolving into, means the mind, here the mind, the buddhi, in upasana resolves into an object so that it becomes one with that object. You're experiencing that as your being.
That's upasana.
Upasana. And then...
That's what happens with virat. Virat would be the object in this...
The way that they're doing it here, because we're not into knowledge.
Yeah.
If we do it from the standpoint of knowledge, I see virat as myself, the atma. Mm. That is me. That I, this conscious being, is virat. Here, this me is resolved into this ahankara, is by concentration and focus totally resolved into virat. Like a part to the whole. But the only thing I'm experiencing now is virat. But there's still subject object in terms of that jiva, that core of yanamas, that's the upasana. Mm-hmm. So the focus of the upasana, nididhyasana, the focus of the upasana is Brahman.
So it's a higher, it's a more refined.
It's just different. Like for self knowledge, you want to know yourself, it's going to resolve into your own being. Upasana. As other, is very, very good for the concentration of the mind. It's good for kind of having a part to the whole relationship with Ishwara.
Mm-hmm.
So even a jnani can do upasana, but it's always going to be nididhyasana, mm-hmm. because there is nothing but you.
Mm-hmm.
So for a jnani, one who has self-knowledge, what would be upasana for an ajnani will be just recognizing your beingness as virat. The conscious being that you know as yourself, you see as the self of virat. The self of the jiva and the self of virat.
With the
upasana, the jiva is meditating upon virat. Whereas in nididhyasana, the jiva is recognizing that their very self is the self of virat.
But a jnani can use both forms, right?
He can use with
an object and with
yeah,
just
but a that's
subject.
Why I'm saying for a jnani, it's hard for it not to be nididhyasana.
Just really quickly, the word Ishvara is technically the name for unmanifest creation.
If we break it down in Mandukya Upanishad
right.
style, we have a name for Ishvara. In reference to the physical creation, we call Ishvara Virat. We have a name for Ishvara in reference to the subtle creation, we call Ishvara Hiranyagarbha.
Mm.
In relationship, Ishvara in relationship just to the Maya Upadhi, then that's Ishvara Prajna. Hiranyagarbha Tajasa. Virat Vishwa. And then the truth of the whole thing is Brahman. Atma, which is Brahman. See what I mean? They're not three separate beings.
Right. It's
like
just a name.
Like a name, like if I say, if I'm talking about myself from the standpoint of my mind, or talking about me from the standpoint of my body. Yeah.
Well, it seems like your sleep is perfect. You're in perfect absorption.
It's a perfect ajnana. Perfect absorption into ajnana, because otherwise you wake up as a jnani.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah, this thing of calling up. Prajna,
then you would have slept.
Prajna Maya, right?
Yeah.
Prajna and Ishvara.
But because you were talking about Maya before as being equivalent to the in the Om, right?
Well, no, I was saying not exactly.
All right.
So A-U-M.
Mm-hmm.
A is Virat. U is the
right.
Tejasa.
Yeah.
I mean the Hiranyagarbha.
Yeah.
And M is the causal state.
Right.
But the causal state, what is the causal state? You could say it's ajnanam for the jiva and maya for Ishvara.
Okay. Because maya also is used just for every.
Yeah, so
it's
Ishvara.
Right? Oh, so then, yeah, right.
Yeah. But I'm breaking, we're breaking
it down. But when you break it down,
you're naming.
It's like the root of the sort of manifest
that's right.
reality
that's
as ignorance, right?
Yeah.
For the jiva, it's for ignorance.
Ignorance for the jiva.
Creative
for
power or something for the...
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah. We just have more names.
Okay.
Yeah. If you could just call the whole thing Ishvara. You could say Brahman with Maya, the Maya Upadhi. When the Maya Upadhi manifests from the subtle level, it's you and the Garbha. From the physical level, it's Virat.
Oh.
Rather awake. Oh. That's it.
Yeah.